Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
It's Valentine's Day, people, and love is in the air. Perhaps nowhere is that feeling greater than right here in the Paris of the Pacific Northwest, also known as Canby, Oregon. We stopped by the hotbed of romantic activity, the Canby Adult Center, to chat with local couples who have been together for over six decades. They tell us what it takes to make a successful marriage work, and basically everything we've been doing wrong.
And we'll be sharing some of your campy love stories. Love found through Tinder, love found through Craigslist, love found through the most romantic date ever had in a McDonald's. We've got it all, and we'll tell you about it right here on the Can Be Now podcast. But first, the news.
Listeners, please be advised that the first story that we're going to cover contains alleged crimes that involve materials of mature and graphic nature. A developmentally disabled 20-year-old Canby man was arrested last month in a connection with allegations of breaking into a local woman's apartment on multiple occasions and stalking her 14-year-old son. The man's name is Harold Lee Vermeer. He's been charged with first-degree burglary, a Class A felony, and criminal trespass. But a related civil lawsuit gives us more insight into the case, and some of the details are shocking. The victims in the case have lived in an apartment in Forest Manor on South Locust Street since 2012. Harold Vermeer's mother was their immediate neighbor and landlord, and held a master key to their apartment. Last year, the victim's mother became suspicious that someone was entering their apartment without permission. She started to notice things seemed to move around and were not always where she had left them. Also, her prescription painkillers were going missing, so she installed a video camera. On three separate occasions, Harold Vermeer has been seen entering the home. According to her testimony in the complaint, the mother came to believe that Vermeer was fascinated with her son. Vermeer would follow him and has even been caught hiding in trees and watching the teen. On December 21st, the mother caught Vermeer in their home and called the police. During this interview, Vermeer allegedly admitted to entering the teen's home and masturbating and ejaculating into his clothes. The lawsuit asks for $250,000 for the emotional distress and trauma caused by Vermeer's actions, which were made possible by his mother's access to the home. His mother is also a defendant in the case, along with several members of the family that own Forest Manor. In addition to the allegations against Vermeer, the lawsuit claims that there are numerous livability issues in the apartment itself, including a broken stove, a leaky sink, sewage backup into the bathroom, and an unsafe ceiling fan that actually fell on the plaintiff's mother's head on one occasion. According to a family member who approached us after the story was first published, Vermeer has autism and is a victim of childhood abuse himself. He does not understand what he did was wrong, the family member said. He does not understand sex or sexuality. He was assaulted by a man, so that is all he knows of it. Harold has a heart of gold. He does need help, but he's now receiving it. Vermeer was arrested on January 25th, but was released on February 5th on $70,000 bail. The judge has granted a temporary restraining order that prohibits Vermeer from coming within 500 feet of the victims or their home. His next court appearance in the criminal case is scheduled for March 12th. Columbia Helicopters will not be acquired by a Texas-based company in a $560 million blockbuster deal announced late last year. I guess you could say the deal just wasn't gonna fly. I feel terrible for that joke. Instead, Columbia and the Houston-based Bristow Group Incorporated have mutually agreed to terminate the transaction, according to a press release last week. Bristow, Columbia, and Columbia's shareholders have agreed to release each other from all claims in connection with the purchase agreement and the related transactions. Bristow will pay Columbia $20 million for their trouble, Bristow Board Chairman Thomas Knudsen said the decision was based on a number of developments that came into light following the initial agreement, which led both companies to conclude the merger and acquisition would, quote, not be possible at this time. That was my best chairman voice. Steve Bandy, Columbia president and CEO, said, we continue to believe in the potential for collaboration between Bristow and Columbia, and the companies are actively considering mutually beneficial opportunities to work together. Man, I should do a voice for CEOs all the time. Founded by Wes LaMotta in 1957, Columbia is a leader in heavy lift helicopter operations and manufacture, maintenance, repair, and overhaul services. It serves clients across the globe in industries that include defense, firefighting, onshore oil and gas, infrastructure, and forestry. Columbia, privately held by the LaMotta family and the company's existing management, reported gross revenues of approximately $281 million in the previous 12 months and earnings of $117 million before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. It operates a fleet of 21 tandem rotor helicopters out of its home airport, West LaMotta Field, at Aurora State Airport. Bristow Group is a publicly traded corporation that provides industrial aviation services, primarily in offshore oil and gas industries. An article in the Oregonian 3 weeks ago said Columbia still intended to go through with the acquisition, despite the fact that Bristow's stock price had plummeted since the deal was announced. In 2017, 107 young adults and children as young as 10 died by suicide in Oregon, making suicide the second leading cause of death for that age group. And the more you drill down into the numbers, the more widespread and alarming the picture becomes. Half of LGBTQ youth said that they considered suicide in the most recent survey of Oregon teens, and a quarter of them had made at least one attempt. Nearly one in three of all eighth graders reported being bullied, and almost 10% had missed at least one day of school in the previous month because of safety concerns. More than 30% of students in the survey reported feeling so sad or hopeless almost every day for 2 weeks straight that they had stopped doing some of their usual activities. It was with these statistics in mind that Clackamas County students and law enforcement leaders held a press conference this week at the Oregon State Capitol to promote legislation to fund Oregon's Safe to Learn Act, and a new report by the Oregon Task Force on School Safety, which outlines recommendations to improve school safety statewide. The event was hosted by the governor's ceremonial office on the second floor of the state capitol building, and Governor Kate Brown shared her thoughts on the importance of student advocacy on this crucial issue.
And I truly believe that when students are empowered to be a force for change, it puts us further down the path to making sure that our schools are safer and our communities are healthier.
Clackamas County Sheriff Craig Roberts, who chairs the task force, was there, as were a number of local high school students, including Derek Evans from Sandy and Haley Hardcastle from Sherwood.
I'm here today to urge our leaders to be proactive rather than reactive when it comes to school safety. Taking preventative action is really the only way to ensure our students' future safety. After speaking to so many of my peers, I realized that I'm one of the lucky ones. I live in a district that has the means to upgrade our security and ensure our students' well-being. But there are other districts that are still struggling to protect their students. It's up to our leaders to ensure that all students have a safe place to learn, no matter where you live.
The Oregon Task Force on School Safety has introduced bipartisan bills, SB 584 and HB 2327, that seek to fund the Oregon Safe to Learn Act. The legislation would establish a statewide school safety and prevention system within the Oregon Department of Education, creating infrastructure to support all Oregon schools and education service districts in the three critical areas: bullying and harassment prevention, youth suicide prevention and mental wellness, and multidisciplinary safety assessment teams. If the legislation passes, it would allow for 15 specialists statewide to work directly with school districts to provide training and technical assistance in all three of the critical areas. All right, listeners, it's time for the best segment of the week. Police Week for the beat, for the what? The beat. Police Beat for the week of January 22nd through the 28th. on January 24th at 4:13 a.m. While on foot patrol, officers located a transient camp on Southwest 1st Avenue and arrested a man with an outstanding warrant. The man also was cited for criminal trespass, offensive littering, like the most offensive kind of littering that you can do, and public indecency. Later that same day at 3 p.m., officers responded to a report of attempted fraud on Southwest 1st Avenue when a person unsuccessfully attempted to switch bills with a cashier in an effort to steal money. The same subject was reported trying a similar scheme at a local business elsewhere, but was also unsuccessful. Yeah, I don't think if you are going to trick anybody, you should trick the people who handle money for a living. They can usually tell the difference between a $1 and a $100 bill. On January 25th at 4:32 a.m., police encountered two transients digging through trash and recycling receptacles on Southeast 14th Place. The officers warned the two individuals and had them return the items they had taken. So wait, they made them give back the trash? Really? Okay. On January 26th at 11 p.m., while on foot patrol at Community Park on Southwest Berg Parkway, officers made contact with a man who had already been warned about consuming alcohol in public and being in the park after it had closed. The man was subsequently arrested for possession of methamphetamine, possession of alcohol in the park, drinking in a public place, offensive littering, again, the most offensive kind of littering, and criminal trespass. On January 28th at 11 a.m., officers responded to a report of attempted fraud after a business received an email from a person posing as the business's manager, directing that numerous gift cards be purchased. Employees reportedly became suspicious when the person posing as the manager asked for a gift card in the amount of all the money. What I don't understand is how they would have done a second gift card if they put all the money on the first gift card. If they're asking for numerous gift cards, you can't put all the money. Never mind. Finally, listeners, and this is exciting. Today, we bring you the happy conclusion to a story you might have heard about last week. On January 28th at 1 p.m., officers assigned to the case of a lost iPhone from the previous week contacted a suspect as he boarded a cat bus on North Pine Street. The man had been identified through a video surveillance. He reportedly admitted picking up the iPhone and subsequently turned it over to the officers. Later that same day, the officers returned the iPhone to its owner. Like Homeward Bound, or Toy Story, or like iPhone Story, Homeward iPhone, something like that. Homeward Apple. I don't know. True story, when we first started the Can Be Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers, just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real life human and a creative genius who would deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. A Word to Husbands by Ogden Nash. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, whenever you're wrong, admit it. Whenever you're right, shut up. Okay, can you guys tell me your names and where you're from?
George and Gretchen Rainey.
Oh, I'm George.
You're George, she's Gretchen. Okay. Thanks for explaining that, George. And we're here at the Canby Adult Center. Wanted to ask you guys how long that you've been married.
63 in June. 63 years in June. We were married 1957, June of 1957.
That is crazy. That is so long. Congratulations. 63 years. You were married in Portland?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how did you guys meet?
Well, her dad was transferred out here from St. Joe, Missouri.
Okay. Was that for work or military?
Yeah, that was his work.
Okay.
He was chief engineer and master mechanic for Swift and Company.
Oh, okay. What did they do?
The meat company.
Swift, they process
like
meat, all armor kinds of meat.
I don't know if they even exist anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
People bought them out.
Yeah. Anyway, he was transferred out here during the war.
You said from 1945. Missouri.
Yeah, St. Joe,
spring
Missouri.
Spring of 45.
Okay.
And, of course, and that was, was that 45?
45, The World War II was just kind of ending at
that
time.
Oh, that's right,
The shipyards were thriving.
They would have been, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were in.
So you grew up here, George?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My father was a policeman in Portland when I was growing up.
Okay.
Yeah. And, she came out here in 1945.
It was in March.
And, of course, she was sweet young thing, you know. I thought, holy smokes, this is a new little girl in a...
Neighborhood.
So exotic, all the way from Missouri.
Well, I didn't know where she was from at the time. But,
We went to the same grade school and high school.
Oh, okay.
Jefferson High School.
Gretchen, did you have
Beach grade school?
Southern accent at the time?
My dad did.
Okay.
He did have one.
Okay.
You think she has an accent?
Not now, but I don't know that. I didn't know her back then, George.
Nobody
ever said that I did. I think my dad had more.
I just wondering if that might have attracted you. Some people are kind of into that. So.
We never were high school sweethearts.
Okay.
Never dated, never even talked to each other in high school.
Well, we knew, yeah. I used to hop in your car.
Yeah, she used to hop in my car to get a ride home.
Is that a euphemism, guys? Come on.
But we...
So you would give her a ride?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We started dating in...
I was going to Portland State.
Yeah, you were going to Portland State.
Portland State wasn't, just
I think
a
it was about
small
19,
college then.
Mm-hmm. About 1955. We dated for a good year and a half.
Uh-huh.
Possibly. And in June of 57, we got married. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get down on my hands and knees and hand her a ring or anything. Not down on my knees, I mean.
Right. It's usually just one knee, George. I mean, if you have to go down hands and knees, you're begging at that point.
So anyway.
That's going to hurt your parents.
I didn't have to do that. She, as a matter of fact, asked me one day, when are we going to get married? So, in reality, she asked me to get married.
She popped the question.
Yeah. We've been going together for a couple of years.
Yeah.
How long did you go together?
I was having fun. It was, I didn't see any.
I like that, Gretchen. That's cool. She knows what she wants. She just asked for it. Very good. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and that's how we got started.
And you've been married 63 years.
It'll be 63 in June.
Yeah. How does that happen? I've been married not even 10 years, so.
We had a little counseling along the way.
Yeah,
too.
We've had our times.
Challenges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you just settle down
we had three
figure
kids.
Out that, you
three
know,
kids.
You, we had three children. And my personal opinion is about life is you'll never find the perfect job, you'll never find the perfect house, and you'll never find the perfect mate. Mm-hmm. Those three things, it's impossible to find something perfect in either one of them.
Yeah.
And that's been my philosophy all my life, and I guess it's kept us together.
Yeah, that's good. So just not expecting, setting your expectations up to something that's not realistic.
I think so,
Deal with it.
Well, I don't know if I agree with you on that, because I think I have the perfect job, because I get to interview you guys, so this is pretty fun. You guys have any big plans for Valentine's Day?
Not really.
No, really.
Those days have come and gone, actually.
Yeah. All right.
We'll come here to the center.
Have a little romantic lunch.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
Well, thank you guys. So nice to meet you. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks.
Okay.
You guys tell me your names?
Don Purvis.
Beverly Purvis.
Where are you guys from?
We're from, right now, Canby, but originally I'm from California.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Don?
I was born in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, Alabama. Yeah. Nice.
And
Southern boy.
Living in Southern California, Glendora, for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. I was a framer.
Oh, okay.
Framed homes. And then we met in El Monte, California.
Oh, okay. Tell me that story.
Yeah, she was in high school, and I'd graduated already from Murphy High School.
You were working.
Yeah, I was working. Mm-hmm. And I worked in a cabinet shop the first couple of years of my career. Mm-hmm. And we went to a party and met each other there and went together for a year and a half.
Big California party?
Just a small group party, you know.
Sure, Don,
We were just having fun. And
I believe that.
And then we went together for a year and a half or a year.
About a year and a half.
And she graduated from high school. And
yeah,
she was,
it's always good.
She was married. And, I was 19 and she was 17.
Oh, okay.
But I turned 18 a week later.
A week later.
I always have to say that.
Okay. Yeah. You always have to say that for how many years? Yeah. That's young.
Yeah, very young.
Very young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very young. Yeah. How did that work? Was there challenges you guys faced from that?
Oh, there was always challenges.
Sure.
But we didn't understand challenges. We were so young.
Yeah,
you know,
you don't know anything.
Yeah, right. That's right. Exactly. You know, we just...
So you feel great.
Just go with the flow, and we didn't even know what the flow was.
Yeah. So how long ago would that have been? How long have you been married?
1954.
Yeah, so about
64 years.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. That is a long time.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, how'd you wind up out here?
How did we wind up where?
Out here.
Well, I was in the building business in Southern California, and I was a framing contractor at that time.
Uh-huh.
And the building industry kind of had a slowdown.
Okay.
And
I wonder what that would be like.
Well,
we've been through a few.
No income.
Right.
Yeah. No income. And we started praying about it. And then since she's originally from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Her aunt and they started, I don't know how it got between, probably from her mother who lived down there with us, mm-hmm. not with us, but lived in that area. She probably was talking to her sister about the business up in Portland, and it was really good.
Yeah.
And so we started praying, and everything just seemed to fall into place, and we packed up our three kids and came to Portland in 1967. And I went to work right away at helped build San Barlow High School, Aloha High School, and a lot of the other major commercial jobs.
Still standing, so you did a good job.
It is. It's standing, but it's amazing. The company that I worked for wasn't that, you know, from my point of view.
Right.
I enjoyed the work, and I didn't like the winters because in California, when it starts sprinkling,
they've never heard of winter.
That's right.
What is winter? I got to throw a sweatshirt on. Like, this is so annoying. Yeah.
Yeah, January, you're in their T-shirt.
You got to wear a long sleeve shirt. Come on.
But anyway, things just kept going in our favor. And
Well, 64 years is the longest that I've met so far. Do you guys have any advice?
We have a strong faith. Mm. That's one of the major things. We have a strong faith in the Lord. And if we put those principles in place and honor them and do our best to execute them, then I feel like there is great success, you know.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Bev? Is the faith thing, can you talk about how that has given you strength or helped you over the years? Or?
I agree with him. It is it's the only thing you can turn to sometimes. Yeah. Is the Lord, and all three of our children are believers, and it's just we've gotten to where we think alike practically. You know.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's wonderful to talk
welcome.
To you.
Yes.
I'll let you get to your lunch. So.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, and so my last guest here. Can you guys tell me your name and how long you've been married?
I'm Helen Basinger. Dean Basinger, 61 years.
61 years, wow.
It'll be 62, September the 9th.
Oh, coming right up. So yeah. 61 and a half then, right?
Yeah.
How'd you guys meet?
I had a date with a friend, and I wouldn't go by myself.
Yeah.
So he got him to go with a girlfriend of mine.
You had a date with somebody who wasn't Dean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Somebody was like a double date.
Yeah, double date.
It was
date.
A double date. I'm sorry.
It was a blind date, though. Or had you seen him?
I knew the guy.
Oh, okay, not a blind date.
Not quite.
No. Okay.
Well, we just moved out to Canby.
Uh-huh.
I was raised in Portland, so.
Oh, okay. So you didn't know too many people here? Yeah.
Not very many.
Yeah. And the Canby people were so weird and different than Portland, huh?
You bet.
Were you a Canby boy?
No. I lived over out of Aurora, actually, where Charbonneau is now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a big... my dad was manager of a guy who put in a feedlot and fed... yearling stuff up until marketable age, the feedlot, and then we'd sell them.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. That was big. Yeah, pretty big. The last 1958, we fed 1,000 head of beef in the feedlot.
Oh, wow.
Which was, I think, about the biggest thing in the valley at that time.
Yeah, that's a big operation.
Yeah, the guy was a millionaire. He didn't know. This cattle business was just a pastime I think he liked.
Sure, yeah.
To deal with.
Yeah. So this date, Helen, you were supposed to be with this other guy, but you saw Dean, and you're like, oh, I'd rather have that.
No, he came over to my house one day and asked me out. So I'm
so it was Dean. Yeah,
I got to thinking about her, and I said, yeah, she's kind of cute. I wonder if she'd go out with me. So.
Right. There you go.
She said yes.
Yeah, yeah. And had a good time, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in those days, you didn't do much. There wasn't much here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not like now. There's so much now, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, at the time, all there was a movie house.
Yeah.
And they had a roller skate, but they took it down.
Yeah.
And there's a bowling alley.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a couple more things than what we have now, so.
Yeah. And this used to be a Peaviner's here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the adult center did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've been here since 54.
Yeah. So 61 years, you guys would have gotten married in, what, 57? Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it been like? What's it been like?
Oh, there's challenges.
Sure.
But... we worked our way through them.
Yeah.
One of the first things we noticed when we got married was friends that we knew had married, and they didn't stay married very long.
Mm.
You know? And we said, well, we didn't. And then one of the things I insisted on was when we had the first child was she was not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I would work and bring the money, and she was going to raise our kids.
Yeah.
Because these friends would, both of them would work, and they'd have a babysitter raise their kids.
Yeah.
I said, no baby's going to sit or going to raise my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm just, I'd seen what some of those kids, the way they were acting, was an attitude I wouldn't stand for.
Yeah. Sure.
Kids will be kids.
Yeah. Were you happy with that? Is that the role that you wanted to have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, I did the house and the yard work and did the cooking and raised the kids. And I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. So is that kind of one of your main pieces of advice when you think about you had these friends that weren't successful at marriage, you guys are now 61 years in?
Yeah.
Just kind of having that understanding between the two of who's, what your jobs are? And...
We work together.
Yeah.
It isn't just all me or isn't all him. We work together.
Yeah.
Whatever had to be done.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If he couldn't do something, I would help him or I would do it.
Yeah.
like we need the lawn mowed, and he couldn't do it because he was working, so I ended up doing the lawn.
Yeah.
We had a riding lawnmower, so yeah. That helped.
My wife ends up doing a lot just because she says I'll mess it up. Oh. So does that happen with you guys too, or?
No.
Oh, okay. That's just me then.
I've been mechanically inclined all of my life.
Oh, okay.
And when we were first married, we had a 57 Ford. Transmission was leaking. This was down in Northern California, uh-huh. Up in the mountains.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to get underneath. She had to get under there and help me because this thing was really heavy. So she was a... She's
been
a little mechanical too.
Yeah,
so.
That's awesome.
He'd lose screws when he was working on yeah. And he couldn't get them, so I'd have to go out and get them. And,
yeah. Did you have to lift very many cars? Or
no.
Like,
No, crazy story. But I had to crawl under them.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Had to learn out where the oil filters were at and stuff like that.
Yeah, where to pour the oil in. And,
oh, that I knew.
I once had a friend that was changing his own oil for the first time, and I explained to him how to do it, you know. And I told him, you know, where the oil comes out, and we weren't at the car, right? I was just explaining it in words, you know. And so, but I explained everything on how to do it, and then he calls me, and he's like, it's taking so long to pour the oil in. He was trying to pour it into the hole for the dipstick.
Oh, my God.
Which is, I mean, I admired his dedication.
Yes.
Like, that's pretty impressive. So. Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's...
Anyway. Well, it was so nice to talk to you guys and to meet you. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Can you tell me your name and where we were at?
Hi, my name is Joan Monin, and I am with the Wild Hare in Canby, Oregon, and we are at...
And Oregon City,
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, I know this is Canby Now podcast, but you don't have to, like, pretend like it doesn't exist.
We are at the State of the City,
uh-huh.
Where the mayor is going to be talking, and all of the... there's some businesses here that are... giving out some samples of what they have to offer.
Yeah, so it's this new thing, right, the small business showcase that the Chambers put on?
Yep.
And Kyle, you guys are part of it. You're doing some delicious pretzel and cheese
queso.
Fondue. Queso bites.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. So do you know a little bit of kind of what the idea was for this small business showcase?
Well, I think Kyle's always working extremely hard to...
And that's Kyle Lang. He's the Chamber
Director.
Mm-hmm.
Chamber Director.
Yeah.
Is always working extremely hard to get... the small businesses noticed down in our town and giving them opportunities to show everybody what we do special.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we've got some new businesses. The Canby Brewing and Smokehouse are here sampling. You guys are obviously here. We've got KMK Creamery, Baker's Bray. So some of the newer businesses. There's this place that's... My office is actually here. Some people call it Gwen's Coffee House for some reason, but it's my office. And we have, you know, Remax and Thelma's Place, so...
Pudding River Chocolate.
Sorry, I didn't mention them because they're behind me, but, yeah. It's kind of a good sampling of all the cool stuff we've got
it's
going
awesome.
On here.
It's awesome. It's a great event.
Yeah.
And a lot of the chamber folks are here, and just anybody, it's free of charge. Come on down.
Yeah. Well, by the time they're hearing this, it'll be like 3 days later.
I know,
later,
but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's cool, kind of the camaraderie that you small business owners all in Canby have.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, you guys all seem to be friends.
Oh,
and
enjoy... all support each other and like to get out and sample each other's food as much as we can and promote one another. I have a... Pudding River Chocolate's fondue on my menu. It's one of my most popular items, and I love pushing their product.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I'm hoping to put the Tillamook TK Creamery, their TK Creamery on my menu.
Some lawyer's sixth sense just peaked,
on my menu as well. We're going to do some fried cheese curds.
Oh, my gosh. I just got so hungry all of a sudden.
And then, you know, once the brewery gets up and running, maybe have a beer of theirs on our tap handles down at both the locations.
Yeah, yeah. They're really talented.
Really
yeah,
good. So very good. I tried their Sequoia Stout. Well, highly recommend it.
Cool. Well, I highly recommend you guys the pretzel bites. What do you call them?
Soft pretzel bites.
Soft pretzel bites. Very good. Whatever you call them.
Yeah,
by any
queso.
Name. They're very delicious. So.
Anything with bread and cheese.
Yeah, it's hard to mess that up, right? Yeah, with salt as well. Extra salt. Cool. Well, thanks so much, John.
You bet. Thank you.
Hey, Tyler.
Eh, sorry, I'm trying to get this microphone, like, right when you started talking, I had to get it fixed.
That's all right.
Are you trying to do Barry White? Is that what's happening?
No.
It's
the soapbox.
So,
baby.
Everyone, turn up your stereos and listen to our voices while you enjoy your Valentine date.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is 20 minutes of this, guys.
I know,
get ready.
Yeah,
here
get
we
ready.
Go.
Buckle in. It's never going to stop. I don't think anybody could take it.
Nope, I can't take it.
Yeah, I'm already done. So you got a little book here you were telling me about.
I just had my wife open it up.
Yeah,
as a
so tell me what it is. Nobody can see it. I pointed at it, but
okay. So you'll hear in the next segment. Uh-huh. I was hanging out with Megan Waterman from the Book Nook, and she's given us some book recommendations. And she's doing this thing where you can do a blind date with a book. They've got all these books wrapped up in paper.
What if you're not sexually attracted to books?
I think it can be a platonic date.
Okay.
Yeah. And you buy the book, take it home. And you unwrap it, and then...
You have no idea what it is.
You have no idea what it is.
Right.
I had no idea what
and
it is.
And you, like, have to read it?
No, I don't. I mean...
The book gets its feelings hurt, though?
Yeah, definitely. So, I bought one for Becca, and
it was supposed
said
to be...
rom-com.
Yeah.
It said, you know...
So, they're labeled with a genre.
Yeah, like a blind date with a rom-com, or an action, or a romance.
Yeah,
I got
a
rom-com.
A sweet idea,
I thought Becca would really like that.
Of course.
So she opens it up.
And Becca is your wife.
Rebecca is my wife.
For people who may not know.
I hope not everybody in Camby knows. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do. Becca got Marley and Me, which in my mind is not a rom-com, and I'm already talking to Megan about it.
Yeah.
She's going to listen to this and be like, wow, they're really...
Just
really,
can't get
I
off it.
I just finished talking to them, and they're already complaining about the book that Tyler bought.
Like happening in real time.
I'm telling her, I was like, this is like one of the saddest movies I ever watched. I was crying by the end of it because it's about a guy and his dog.
Never saw it.
And I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but the dog dies.
Good, you sidestepped that real well. Good job.
Yeah. Not like rom-com, in my opinion.
I saw the trailer. It did not look like a sad movie. It looked like
that's
like
how they get you.
Beethoven with
that's
a smaller dog.
That's how they get
dog.
You in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, come bring the whole family down.
Right.
You got a child who doesn't understand death?
Yeah.
Bring him on down.
We'll dramatize him.
You'll enjoy the conversation on the ride home.
Yeah.
So that was it. I'm probably going to go back and buy another one that doesn't have dead dogs in it.
Okay.
But only because I really like Megan, and I like the Book Nook.
That's
so
a good story.
I don't mind going back and buying more books.
Well, would you like to hear some stories that don't involve, well, not that much death? I don't think there's any death in here.
That would be great.
We reached out to some listeners and some of our Facebook friends to hear their Canby love stories.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that you might want to hear a few.
Yeah, I did hear about one already. Because one of the people that wrote in was my 8th grade girlfriend.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I don't know
let's
if
just
we'll
go
do
through.
This one.
Let's
do
just
that
go
one.
Through.
We'll see. Okay. So I'm really excited about this. There are some really good stories in here. And if we got too many to like do them all, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
maybe
thank you so much for sending them in. And
maybe
I'm really sorry.
We can rate them at a later time for
or
we
can
collect
them
and save them for next year, do a special Valentine's episode.
Yeah.
Something like that. We're not going to get rid of the great work that you guys did. I'm looking at pages and pages.
Lot of stories.
And I don't want to get rid of all of it. So.
And and we just have limited time. I don't think anybody really wants like a 4-hour Valentine's Day episode as much as you guys' stories are great. So, okay. So the first one is from a friend of mine, Becky Steger. She says, back in 2005, my then-boyfriend Joshua was heading home from hanging out with me when he witnessed a small rock slide on 99E in Oregon City. The car in front of him punctured a tire. So being the kind of guy he is, he pulled over, offered to help, and aided the driver in changing her tire.
Nice.
We'll jump back to this in a second. That's nice, right?
That is really nice.
A week later, he calls me up and says, wear something nice. We're going someplace special tonight. Now, this is a man who hates, it's in all caps. I have to read it how it's written. He hates surprises, and we're both students. If there are two things he doesn't do on dates, it's go to nice places or set up some mystery location. So this was incredibly out of the ordinary. I was, of course, thrilled. I get all dolled up, still with no idea where we are going. He picks me up, looking sharp, and we head out. He drives around Canby in circles for a bit, smiling quite proudly to himself. And I know Joshua, so I can, like, picture him doing this. As he wound in and out of downtown, going apparently nowhere. And back in 2005, like, what was downtown
Canby? The library. The old library.
Yes. Finally, 20 minutes later, we pull into, wait for it, McDonald's. I just burst out laughing, thinking this is a fabulous joke, but it gets better. Especially in 2005, the Canby McDonald's was...
It was not as nice as it is now. That's a weird thing to talk about.
As he opens the door for me, I notice there's a table with a small vase and a red flower on it, a table for two. We sit down, and one of the cashiers comes over with a pad of paper to take down our dinner order.
Like, just a, like a legal pad? Like just, right? Just college ruled?
It's like a pad of sticky notes. No, I wonder if it was like getting a leather, one of those leather things or something. Cool. But yeah, she said it was just like in a sit-down restaurant. She's trying not to giggle and is clearly a tad embarrassed, but happy to help. I order a Happy Meal because I want the Chronicles of Narnia toy.
Josh, 2005, that makes sense.
Yep, Josh orders a burger. It checks out. Josh orders a burger and fries. This story's legit. We fact-checked it. When she brings our meals out, the staff has used the styrofoam pancake plates rather than the usual wrappers and boxes, and our food is arranged beautifully. Later, she returned with not one, but two Happy Meal.
Ooh.
Oh, not one, not two Happy Meal toys, but the entire set.
What?
It's in all caps with exclamation points. I have to read it how it's written. I was stunned by the entire evening, especially by how sweet and thoughtful the staff were. So this is where she explains it all. Now, remember that flat tire Josh helped change? Turns out she was the general manager for Canby McDonald's.
What?
She was grateful for his help, gave him a card, and told him that if he ever wanted a free meal, to drop by. The next day, he called her and told her about this idea. She was so completely on board and excited, she didn't even let us pay. It was one of the most charming and romantic dates I've ever been on. The amount of care that went into it from all sides made me feel like a trillion bucks. Oh, and as for my boyfriend, the next year we were married in the gazebo at Waite Park. Here's a picture.
I mean, you kind of have to marry him.
I know,
after
at that point.
Right?
Like, yeah,
he, like, he went all out at Mickey D's.
I know.
Also, if you still have that Narnia collection set, definitely you should put that on eBay. That'd make a pretty penny.
I bet it would, yeah. Yeah, and with the story behind it, that, like, yeah, double surprise.
Really
at least.
Great. Or give it to us. I'll put it on my desk.
Okay. I'm really hoping this is Ashley Gibson.
Nope.
Dang it. Okay.
Do you want me to tell you who it is so you
so can grab it?
Read it?
Yeah, let me do this first. Okay, so this one I just like because it felt very Canby.
Ah.
My boyfriend and I met in Canby High School. It was my freshman year and his junior year. I was held back in third grade, so our age isn't really far apart. We had third period together, and I told myself I wouldn't even think about dating anyone so I could do good in school and focus on myself. I couldn't help that I liked him, though, and he was honestly the only reason I showed up to school. Well, he took me to the movies, and afterward, he had gained the courage to ask me to be his girlfriend. This is, like, so high school, right?
Dude, I can't tell you how hard it was to say, will you be my girlfriend, when I asked Rebecca out.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the hardest thing for
me to
say.
Or, like, to say anything to a girl.
That
like, could you...
Took me, like, a year and a half to ask.
Please move so I can sharpen my pencil. where were we? Okay, so he took me to the movies, he gained the courage, but I remembered I didn't want to date, so I told him my mom wouldn't let me until she met him.
Yeah.
In reality, my mom didn't care if I dated him as long as he didn't hurt me, so he was one of the, quote, popular boys, and being turned down wasn't something he was used to.
Sure.
He usually would have given up trying to date someone if he was turned down, but he told me something about me made him want to keep trying, and he did just that. Eventually, we started dating. It's not really a super cute love story, but I think it has many special memories, especially because I was very shy, and my way of flirting was looking at him until I accidentally blushed. Once I tripped over a chair, trying not to be so awkward. So I, like, asked her for some more stories. She then said, so in sophomore summer, they went out to Taco Bell, and they couldn't eat at home because they weren't supposed to be eating junk food.
Nice.
So they decided to go to a park and eat there. Well, there was another person at the park, and they decided that they were a threat, so they pulled up and started yelling at them.
What?
And they're just trying to eat their Taco Bell. So instead of arguing, we drove off, and they chased us while we were laughing and trying to get away in case they were dangerous. We laughed because we were in a 4Runner while they were in a super charged up muscle car, and we still got away.
Nice.
Another time, this was my favorite. This was really the whole reason I wanted to do the story. Another time, my man and I went fishing in the Canby Pond. There was a huge fish in the pond, and it ended up falling off our hook, so he went diving in after it.
What?
And he caught it with his bare hands.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's crazy, right?
That's super cool.
Yeah. Your boyfriend, Ashley, sounds really cool. So. Okay, so yeah, what's the gal's name?
Her name is Megan Pearson.
Oh, yeah.
Were you going to get to that one? it's a nice story. It's nice to hear that she was able to find love after me.
Yeah, I know. It's like
8th grade love is well, you seem to not be able to find it. It's all right. We don't have to embarrass her that much.
I got it.
You're really looking hard for this.
There are a lot of stories.
There are. I didn't even see that second pile that you just pulled out, man. Yeah. This is crazy.
It's going to be the very last one.
Oh, definitely it's going to be the last one.
Oh, here it is. Here you go.
All right. My ex-girlfriend, Megan Pearson.
Finally picked up the pieces from her broken heart.
This is Megan Pearson, and I wanted to share my love story with you. When I was 15, I met my current boyfriend, Clint Wilson. At the time, I was more interested in his friend. We hung out a few times, and that was that. At 16, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetic. At the urging of him, his friends, and himself visited me. I came home from the hospital. It meant a lot to me. So both boys held a special place in my heart. Due to this, Clint mistakenly thought I liked him. He decided to kiss me. He told me that he was probably going to regret it, pushed me against a truck, kissed me, and ran away giggling. This is my very first kiss. I was furious. I wanted it to be someone I had real feelings for.
I have a question. Did you ever used to go by Clint?
I did not.
Okay.
Nor would I ever push a girl against a truck. I would run away giggling.
Yeah.
Anyway,
wouldn't have that idea. That's the problem.
Time moved on. We both dated other people over the years, both keeping tabs on each other through random encounters in coffee shops, our best friends dating, and a youth girl I mentored working with him. Then one day in February of 2017, we reconnected on Facebook. This led to going out to dinner. He brought his dog to meet me. I'm a huge animal lover, so bonus points. We both realized by March there was just more than friendship, and we made ourselves officially exclusive. While it's been just shy of 2 years, we are happy and hope to continue on that way for a long time. Thanks for taking time to read our story.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a cute story, and it's nice to hear about some Facebook doing something good.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely bringing people together.
For once. There actually is quite a few stories about Facebook. Yeah, people reconnecting through Facebook or Ancestry.com.
It's funny to me because
Craigslist. Go ahead.
It's funny because 10, 15 years ago, dating online was this taboo thing that only weird people would do. And now it's almost commonplace where you connect with people through the internet, because social media is so integrated with our personality and with our social lives, that it's online dating without being the stigma.
Yeah. I got married when I was like 12. So I feel like for the younger generation and the older generation, like second romance type thing, it's like very much the norm. Like for the younger generation, it's all like the Tinder, and there's a Tinder story in here too. I don't know if we'll have time to it, but get to it. But, that's like the thing. And then older people, I think, do use Facebook and stuff a lot.
And Craigslist, apparently.
Yeah. You ready for a little Craigslist romance? Okay. So this is our newest city councilor, Sean Varwig.
What?
So Jessica and I met through Craigslist personals. Here's the backstory. And he didn't tell me when this was, but this is like so early 2000s. Like, you can just tell. I had moved to the area a few months prior and was on Craigslist looking for a couch, as I had only brought with me what could fit into my car. After a bit of a rough start in the area, I was in a bit of a funk, and so I decided to take a small break from the sofa search and read through the pathetic personal ads people were placing on there, thinking I would get a good laugh at them. Gosh, Sean was kind of a jerk back then.
I've done the exact same
thing. Okay, fair enough. After reading through several, I decided that I would add in a keyword that meant a lot to me and search for Christian ads. So he added in the word Christian. That's when I came across her ad. The title was My Perfect Man. I nearly skipped over it, but thinking it would give me a good laugh, I clicked on it and began to read it. Descriptors such as tall, dark, handsome, good job, nice car, etc. were there, along with one that interested me the most, must love Jesus. I knew that I met very few of these qualifications, and I also wondered why she would even post this on Craigslist. That's a good question. Never mind any other personal sites, thinking that people who met these qualifications were probably not online dating.
Right.
But I decided to send her a message anyway. To my surprise, she responded, and we began an email correspondence. We met in person only a few dates later, a few days later.
That's, for real our first quick, date. Just to interrupt.
Yeah.
Correspondence. We know what you chatted that girl up.
Yeah. Slid into the DMs.
Don't say it all like high and mighty.
Right. Like it's Pride and Prejudice. Like.
Yeah. I sent her a correspondence sent by...
Dearest,
ostrich.
My dearest Jessica, I enjoyed your Craigslist posting.
I, too, like tall, dark, and handsome.
Jesus lovers.
Yeah.
During the conversation, I learned that she and her girlfriends had put the ad up as some sort of a joke. I bet that made him feel good.
Yeah.
And she had drawn the short straw to be the one who received the replies. But during our date, we talked about so many things and had an instant connection. I knew that night that I would one day marry her. 6 weeks of dating, and we were engaged. We married almost 11 years ago. I guess he did tell me when this was.
Yeah, 11 years ago.
8 months after meeting each other, and now have two beautiful daughters. And I have met one of their daughters. She's super cute. She was one of the kids that did that Christmas thing with us.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, I think we got time for one more.
Yeah, one more.
Let's do the Tinder one.
Okay.
This actually happened in Japan.
Ooh.
Anna Madeline Marine sent us in. When she was studying abroad in Japan, she got on, you guessed it, Tinder. I wasn't looking for love. I mean, it's Tinder, but
yeah.
She said, she claims, just looking for to meet cool people to hang out with who could show me the local sites. I was skeptical about swiping right on another gaijin, which, put in parentheses, means foreigner, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know anything about Japanese culture.
Me either. I'm just going to say sure, like I know what that means.
They made Nintendo.
Gaijin, sure.
Yeah. Oh, of course. It's that. I feel like gaijin is like Godzilla.
I was thinking Gundam. That's the mobile suit things that turn into jets and stuff. That's what was in my head. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I was seeing anime.
What is Godzilla? It's very close to gaijin.
Kaiju.
Like, kaiju. Okay. Yeah. This is probably super racist. We apologize to all of our
super nerd
Japanese listeners for not knowing more about your culture. Okay, but something about this guy's genuine smile and sweet eyes made me swipe right anyway. And I guess swipe right means that you
like him.
You want to learn more, I guess.
Yeah, again, we're older.
Somebody
than
call
Tinder.
In and explain Tinder to us. About a week of online chatting later, I met Guatemala-born Estuardo for the first time at a Tully's coffee shop in Japan. On the 14th floor of an Umeda office building, he was just as handsome in person as in his profile picture, which is
that's
always
rare.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you hope for. And as I would quickly come to realize, the absolute most intelligent human being I have ever met. We spent the better half of the morning in that coffee shop, spent some time looking over the vast expanse of the city, and then walked across the busy downtown street of Umeda to the HEP 5, one of many of a group of malls. What's a group of? Japan is
like a
crazy.
Bunch of malls, like a mall of malls.
Yeah. So, like, instead of a mall with stores, like, each store is a mall.
All right, I take back my splashdown idea. I want Cambie to have the mall of malls. Yeah.
Just all of downtown.
It's a bunch of malls.
Just a bunch of malls. At the top, there was a big arcade. Oh, my gosh, I want this even more now.
An arcade.
A big arcade at the top of a mall of malls?
The mall of kaiju.
Okay, we're going to have to start Japan Now podcast after this. So there was a big arcade where Estuardo, he won me a prize from a claw machine and very boldly kissed me as we stood chatting on an escalator. That can be dangerous. Sometimes you got to pay attention. It was the most memorable first date of my life, and in November of last year, we were able to repeat it while I was visiting him in Japan as he worked toward finishing his degree in robotic engineering. Nice. The arcade has changed to a VR space with rows and rows of photo booths. So instead...
That was my cat getting into stuff.
Getting into the story a little too much. Yeah, she's like, what's going to happen?
He's super into it.
He's such a romantic. The arcade is, so it changed to photo booths. So instead of playing games as we had before, we took photo booth pictures together. It was during these photos that he got down on one knee and asked me to be his wife. He is coming to America in March, and we're getting married in March of next year. The best thing I've ever done on my phone was meet my soulmate.
Nice. Here's very cool. Pictures. Oh, there's pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, they're photo from booth From the photo pictures. Booth.
That's a very multicultural story for Camby. Yeah. I like it.
A Camby person who went to Japan and got someone from Guatemala.
Yeah. What did you think of those stories?
That was super good, man. I'm really sad that we can't read all of them.
We are going to keep them because there's some really good stories we weren't able to get to. And thank you for sending them. Wait. No, we got something else to do. Just stop the music. Stop it.
Oh, all right.
What? We got to announce our winner. We got to announce our winner for the giveaway.
Oh, okay.
You had the music preset.
Yeah, I had a preset for 20 minutes like we usually try to do.
Okay, like we try to do. Okay, well, we will be done, but we'll do this real quick. So we've been doing a contest for people to rate or review us on Apple Podcasts or Facebook, and we got a lot of response. We got like over 40, which is really exciting. Yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for being part of this and telling us what you think of us, except for that one guy who didn't like us. But but everybody else, we love you, and we appreciate the support. And we're going to give all of you a free sticker. We'll be getting in touch to you guys can hear that? That's all of these answers.
He's getting them
all
ready.
These entries.
He's got all your names
We'll
ready.
Be getting in touch with you guys to get your mailing address and whatnot to send those to you. But one lucky person is going to win a Camby Now sweatshirt.
Boom!
They'll be the first non-Camby Now podcast person to have one of
these. To have a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
We wear ours everywhere.
We're wearing them right now.
I wear mine literally all the time.
And I know you can't see us, so we could be lying, but we're not. We are actually.
We are both in our Camby Now sweater, and we can't wait for you to join us.
It's a little cold, so.
Yeah. Okay. Not the sweater, but outside the sweater.
Outside the sweater. That's why we're
wearing
the sweater.
I get to choose?
You do it.
All right. Now, is the guy who gave us a one-star in here? It'll be so good if I get his name. I would love to meet him.
Just get one.
My hands are all dry from recording. So here we go.
That doesn't make sense. Okay. Should I do a
drum roll?
That's a drum roll.
Oh, I thought you were just hitting my microphone for no good reason.
Yeah.
Our winner of the Camby Now sweatshirt is.
I'm so nervous.
Laura Hill on a hill. I said it wrong because that's what I do. I say names wrong.
That's why I wanted you to read them. It's like, who's Laura Hill?
Lana Hill. Did I say that right?
I don't know, actually. We are so sorry. It's either Lana or Luana.
You're sorry. I get all the names wrong.
Maybe
I'm not sorry.
Luana Hill? But however you pronounce it.
Mrs. Hill. Mrs. Hill.
Thank you so much. You're the winner. And yeah, we'll be getting in touch with you to give you your sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to tell us how to say your name, we won't get it wrong next time.
Sorry about that. Well, thanks everyone who participated. And thanks for listening. Keep those reviews coming. We'll do another giveaway at some point.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Happy Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gross.
Romance.
We're going to talk about romance novels today.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people turn their nose up at romance novels, and women apologize a lot when they come in here for
really?
Reading romance novels. Like, it's not good enough. which seems a little crazy to me. I love a good history book. I love nonfiction. I love to learn something, but sometimes you just need like a good feel good. Someone described it to me the other day as a comfort food in book form.
Mm.
Like, sometimes the world is crazy and chaotic that we live in. Sometimes you just want something feel good with a happily ever after. And we refer to those here at the bookstore as book boyfriend covers.
Okay.
You know, Valentine's is coming, and you know, while we sometimes have our expectations too high,
yeah,
and sometimes we just want to, you know, escapism fiction.
Sure.
Wanna go and know, be reminded that true love prevails, and
yeah,
there's good in the world, and then the boy gets the girl in the end, and they ride off into the sunset, and
right,
you know, sexy washboard abs on the cover.
Don't just make it better, right?
Having something to calm your mind from the crazy world we live in is just as important.
Yeah.
So never come in here and apologize for what you're reading.
Do you have any recommendations for us at all as far as authors or anything like that?
So if you are a fan of the romance genre, Nora Roberts is definitely like the,
yeah,
the epitome of...
I've seen that name somewhere before, I'm sure.
So ooh, in the romance genre, there's contemporary romance.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's romantic suspense, you know, some, you know, detectives and with that, you know,
yeah,
romantic theme still.
Of course. You
know, we all fall in love with the detective. There's paranormal romance.
Ghost.
Vampires, ghosts, werewolves.
Twilight.
Yeah. Sparkly vampires.
Yeah.
And there's historical romance, which if I'm going to read romance, that's what I would read. You know, Outlander.
Ooh, Outlander. I've heard of that one before.
Yeah, that one's pretty popular. The show is going on right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
1700s, Highlander.
No. You're just, everything you're saying is like, I'm almost interested, but...
Your wife's never made you watch The Notebook?
She has not. I actually swore an oath to my dad when I was a teenager. He made me swear to him that I would never give in to a woman and watch The Notebook.
Oh.
But that being said, I have watched every movie adaptation of every Jane Austen movie ever made because of my wife. So I think I've made up for it a little bit.
We'll give you that you haven't read a lot of books, because Jane Austen, she's classic.
Right.
You know, some Mr. Darcy, he's a good role model to look into there.
I mean, yeah, he's a cool guy. I personally, and I'm not joking, I know them all. I like Mr. Knightley more than Mr. Darcy.
Really?
Yeah.
Nope, I like the broody, quiet,
yeah,
Mr. Darcy.
I think I like, I don't know his name now. The guy from... Northanger Abbey. I think he's probably my favorite, though. I'm not joking. I know this stuff.
This is good now. Okay. Is your wife a Gone with the Wind fan?
Yes.
So, some Scarlett O'Hara. Has you read it?
Have I? No.
No. Has she read it?
I think she read Gone with the Wind. I don't think she read the second one, though.
Oh. Well, she didn't publish another one, but the estate... I probably said that wrong, but the estate allowed someone else to publish Scarlet, which that was well done.
Yeah.
It was, but it's not Gone with the Wind. I made my husband watch it 3 times.
Right, yeah. I think I've seen it once. It's a long one.
Yeah.
Says the guy who watched an 8-hour movie of Pride and Prejudice. Yeah.
You can't top Pride and Prejudice, though.
You really can't. Have you even seen Austenland? That's a good movie.
I haven't seen that one yet.
That's a good one. It's really funny.
So... if your wife is a Jane Austen fan, surprise her and take her to the Jane Austen Fair.
When is that?
That is...
I love how we're talking about this on a book recommendation segment.
Well, the Jane Austen Tea and Fair is April 27th and 28th in Aurora.
Ooh.
Men and women come in costume. I go as the bookseller. Oh, gosh, there's a tea. They had I think there was a magician last year, a Victorian magician that came and...
I think that my wife would very much be interested in going to this.
Oh, yeah.
So,
That's a fun event.
Now, I'm looking around, and you have all these books that are wrapped in, it almost, are they pages from a dictionary?
They are pages from a dictionary.
Okay.
So my daughters helped me with this idea, and they pulled some good books, and we priced them down to $1 to $3, and they're called Blind Date with a Book. Kind of that same concept of kind of the fear and uncertainty, but excitement of going on a blind date, meeting somebody you don't know.
Right.
We all tend to go towards the same genre or the same authors that we've already read that we're comfortable with, but right. What if you picked up a book and you read something? Yeah, take a chance.
Yeah.
So I didn't make it too crazy. I did add the genre. I didn't, if you really hate action novels, I didn't want, you know, you to.
Oh, right. If you're going to come in hoping to get a blind date with a romance novel, end up with Stephen King.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
We don't want you that disappointed. So.
Right. Well, that's super cool. And thank you so much for the Jane Austen talk, which I never get enough of at home. I'm being very sarcastic.
We also have a Mr. Darcy candle.
That's right. I got to smell it, and I smelled it.
And you did. Yes, I'm sorry. We made you smell the candles.
No, they're very good candles. And I'm super excited about this. I think I might pick one of these romance, maybe the romance for the blind date for my wife to give to her. More than 1.2 million Americans receive internet, TV, and telephone services from community cooperatives like Direct Link. They believe that their role revolves around partnerships, whether sponsoring a local event, hosting educational classes, or investing in fiber internet technology. Direct Link is here for our community because they are a part of our community.
Beyond just working in Canby, most of DirectLink's employees live here as well. DirectLink's investment in the local area reaches past business interests and extends into the everyday lives of neighbors, friends, and families. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities.
And that's our show. Special thanks to the Canby Adult Center, to all of today's guests, and all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support local small businesses that support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
In our next episode, we managed to chase down one of the newest members of the State House of Representatives, Christine Drazen, from right here in Canby. She'll explain the proposed cap and trade plan to us and why it concerns her, and tell us what it's like being in a super minority. Hey, we're a couple of local news podcasters. We know the feeling.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions for how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanbyNow, or on our website, CanbyNowPod.com.